This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, May 13th, 2019, start of a brand new week here. And boy, are we off to a rocky start. I'm trying to get a weather report to see if it's raining stockbrokers on Wall Street right now. And I hate to say I told you so, but well, yeah, a lot of people were saying this was going to not turn out well, this trade war. So the stock market is way, way down. The Dow at one point was down 700. The NASDAQ was off 3%. That's serious stuff. Okay, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the program. But I don't think this is going to end well. Okay, we've been talking about the possibility of a false flag to try and kick off war with Iran. And there may have been an attempt over the weekend. Something really weird went on down over at the United Arab Emirates. There were explosions being reported on social media, and the UAE initially denied anything had happened. Then they came on back and said that four commercial vessels had been targeted by what they called sabotage operations near its territorial waters. Now they backed off and said it was only two. And so they're a little fuzzy on that. But Saudi Arabia said two of its oil tankers were among those attacked off the coast of the United Arab Emirates and described it as an attempt to undermine the security of crude supplies amid tensions between the United States and Iran. So I guess we're back up to four of them, four ships. Two of them were Saudi. Another one was Norwegian. Another one was flagged as the UAE. So what's going on here? And was this an attempt to get a false flag going to blame on Iran? And how did they botch it? Now, remember, it was only last Friday that the U.S. Maritime Administration issued a statement claiming it was possible Iran would attack commercial ships, maybe even oil tankers, in the waters around their country. And this is part of that ramp up of everybody saying, oh, Iran's coming to attack us. Iran's coming to attack us. So what went wrong? Why are we not seeing all these headlines all over the corporate media about Iran has attacked ships off the UAE? Well, over at Jim Stone's website, he has an interesting little story about how the Lebanese media jumped the gun and released news of the attack before it happened. And Jim Stone is also saying that it's all over social media that American warplanes were seen flying in that area in a very aggressive manner. So that's what's coming from that part of the world. John Bolton is out there trying to spin Israeli intelligence to push for the war with Iran. This isn't going to wait till fall. There was the supposed White House insider said Trump is going to have war with Iran by the fall. No, this is not going to hold. This is going to be happening in weeks, by the end of the month. So basically, Bolton is out there pushing for it. And interestingly enough, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif has basically retweeted a 2017 article by John Bolton that was published in the magazine National Review. And it was all talking about the plan to get Washington out of the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and point the United States toward war. This was before Bolton joined the White House. He was already out there pushing for this thing. Okay, Mike Pompeo has now called off his trip to Moscow and is meeting with Vladimir Putin. to fly to Brussels to crash an EU meeting exploring ways of salvaging the Iran nuclear deal. Don't want that to continue. They want that off. I mean, they're just making it very obvious. The U.S., we want the war with Iran. That's what's going to happen. And this is a major diplomatic faux pas. I mean, Pompeo did this last week with Angela Merkel. Was on his way to Germany for a meeting with her, blew her off, stopped in Iraq to try and pressure Iraq's leaders to resist cooperation with Iran. And so he's done it again. And in the world of international diplomacy, that is a horrible, horrible insult. This thing is just a circus. Article out of Middle East Eye. Asking, are the U.S. and Iran headed for a war? Well, it certainly looks like it. And they're saying thousands could die. It could ignite a regional war where you have all these different countries across the Middle East are going to be at war with each other. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And over at the Arab Center in Washington, D.C., the director of research and analysis is saying, it's going to be catastrophic. There are going to be deadly battles all across the Middle East. Over in Iran, they're taking a different tone. The head of the Revolutionary Guard Corps, General Hossein Salami, is basically out there saying that the aircraft carrier group is just psychological warfare and intimidation. And he went on to say that a U.S. attack against Iran, well, he said it was impossible, claiming that Washington lacked the necessary military strength, not counting tactical nukes. Another senior commander claimed Iran has the firepower to hit the U.S. in the head, should it come to that. So both sides are talking tough. Neither side wants to back down and make nice. Another article, this one out of Mondo Weiss, the U.S. corporate media is contributing to the rising risk of war with Iran. And basically, they're doing this by failing to report to the American people about this escalating threats, escalating moves. U.S. print media is also mostly ignoring the story, except to take dictation from Pentagon sources, which is then published without qualification, without independent sourcing. They want you looking the other way when it happens, just like on 9/11. They want it to be a complete psychic shock. Now, Iraqi Shia cleric and leader of the National Wisdom Movement, Amar al-Hakim, is out there saying that Iraq will not stand idle if the U.S. steps up the anti-Iran campaign. And he went out there to say, we have to protect Iraq from any potential fallouts of this conflict, because when the call for war is made, reason and logic is forgotten. He's certainly right about that one. The United States push to cut Iran's oil exports to zero signals a transition from a policy of pressure to a policy of suffocating Iran, its government, and its people. This move will have very dangerous and tragic implications for the region. Yeah, they're going to set the whole place on fire is what they're going to do. Turning back now over to Syria, the Syrian Arab Army has secured the town of Arama in the northwestern Hama countryside. They did that yesterday following heavy clashes with Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. The army entered the key town a day earlier. There was some counterattacks by HTS and its allies, but ultimately the pro-government forces won, and they've released photos showing the bodies of dozens of terrorists who were killed by the army in northwestern Hama. Over on the other part of Syria, the Syrian Arab Army has once again shelled an observation post of the Turkish military around the town of Shir Mugar in the northwestern Hama countryside with more than 13 artillery rounds. The sources released a photo showing white smoke rising from the post's outskirts. However, they have yet to provide any evidence confirming the army was behind the shelling. That's what Turkey is claiming, though. Now, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons launched an engineering assessment regarding the alleged chemical attack in Douma last April. And they went on in, and they basically looked at all the forensic evidence. They looked at the canisters, and in true investigative style, they looked for what should have been there and wasn't. Damage to the canisters, damage to the ground, had these really been lobbed in from a distance. And the conclusion of the engineering subteam of the OPCW is that the Douma chemical weapon attack was staged. They just went on in, they put a bunch of props, and they staged it. It's another war starting lie. Up in Afghanistan, there's this Afghan journalist and political advisor who's a strong supporter of women's rights. Mina Mangai was shot dead Saturday in a public place when she was on her way to work in Kabul. And she had been telling people she believed her life was in danger. So it looks like, yes, she got assassinated. Over in Israel, they have already violated the truce, and Israeli military vehicles raided Palestinian lands this morning east of Beit Hanun in the northern besieged Gaza Strip. Israel sent in six large D9 military bulldozers, and they entered dozens of meters into Palestinian lands. And apparently, the bulldozers raised and leveled the lands while drones flew overhead. So it's still going on over there. Israeli home demolitions have skyrocketed in Jerusalem. They're just taking the properties and knocking them down. They're not even pretending to try and be fair or humane or just. But the Israeli occupation forces have sharply escalated their demolitions of Palestinian properties in East Jerusalem. And more Palestinians have been made homeless this year than in all of last year. And we're not even halfway through the year. Now, United Nations Humanitarian Coordinator Jamie McGoldrick decried the alarming trend, calling on Israel to immediately halt all destruction of Palestinian property. Sorry, Jamie, they're not going to listen to you. As you probably are aware, we're coming up on the Eurovision contest. It's been very controversial because it's being held in Jerusalem. And it was being held in Jerusalem because an Israeli artist won the contest last year with a public online vote that many viewed as highly suspicious and was possibly subject to rigging. The idea that Israel wanted to host the Eurovision contest as part of its efforts to polish up its image, to give it a more positive image. Well, apparently somebody has managed to put up a billboard protesting Israel's occupation of the West Bank on the road leading from Ben-Gurion International Airport into Tel Aviv. And the billboard says, "Dare to dream of freedom." I wonder how long it's going to stay there. All right, we're getting more information leaking out about the deal of the century. And this is Jared Kushner's baby. And according to the leaks we're getting now, the Israeli military would retain control over the settlements, the Jordan Valley, and borders for 5 years as final status negotiations continue. The plan would cement the status quo between the Israelis and Palestinians, and the only concession asked of Israel would be freezing settlement building at the heart of the West Bank during that initial five-year period. Doesn't sound like much of a deal to me. Jared Kushner was out there talking about the situation here and just basically dissing the Palestinian people, saying people have been funding this thing for a long time. They've gotten more aid than any group of people in history, and what we have to show for it is really not much at this point. Of course, Jared Kushner is completely wrong. Israel gets an average of $3.5 billion a year, and they have been for the last 66 years, just from the United States. The Palestinians have received about $1.7 billion a year in total from all international donors. So here we have Jared Kushner, who's out there putting together this deal of the century, and he's not in command of the reality of the situation. So shame on him. Turning on down now to Venezuela, Juan Guaido has now officially requested U.S. military support. And he's basically saying, come on in, restore our democracy. And he sent a letter to the commander of the U.S. Southern Command, Admiral Craig Faller. And Guaido wants direct communication with the U.S. military. In other words, he wants U.S. forces on the ground in Venezuela under his control. Don't think he's going to get that one. But it looks like there's going to be another U.S. military intervention in Venezuela. It's just unwinding all over the world. Okay. Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates had said that North Korea is unlikely to ever give up all of its nuclear weapons. And he is saying that Trump was right to walk away from the deal with Kim Jong-un. Now, Gates said that North Koreans have come to see some modest nuclear capabilities as essential to their national survival. And I can understand why they would think that, with the U.S. mongering war all over the planet. The whole point of having nuclear weapons is to not get invaded. Every nation that is a nuclear-armed nation, they have those weapons to say, leave us alone. In all the history of nuclear weapons development, all the testing and espionage and everything going on, you need to remember, nuclear weapons have only ever been used in combat twice, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And historians are looking back and saying that the U.S. didn't really need to do that. They only did it to demonstrate we actually had the things. There is renewed interest now on the so-called dancing Israelis who were arrested on 9/11. And apparently some additional photos of these Mossad agents have been revealed after a Freedom of Information Act request. And I think Ryan Dawson has been part of this. Nobody's really reporting on this all this much. But to basically, on 9/11, these five Israelis traveling in a company van from a moving company, which was also owned by an Israeli, were arrested in connection with the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. According to the police, they found traces of explosives in the van. The men were detained and questioned for more than 70 days before being deported to Israel without being charged with a crime. Now, when they got back there, and they were stars on Israeli TV, and they said their stated purpose where they were was to document the event. Some of the witnesses around where the van had been parked said they arrived before the first plane struck the North Tower, indicating they knew there was going to be an event to document. Now, this is actually a positive story, and this has to do with a U.S. Air Force pilot. He's 98 years old, and he's known as the Candy Bomber, or the Chocolate Flugger. And he became famous for dropping sweets to the children during the Berlin airlift. More about him when we come back from these words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
America. Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about Gail Halvorsen. He's 98 years old. He's a former U.S. Air Force pilot, and he was part of the Berlin airlift, where they were getting supplies into West Berlin after the Soviet Union blocked the railway, road, and canal access to the city in order to get them to basically agree to become part of the Soviet Union, which, by the way, that failed. So Halvorsen basically got the idea when he was going over there and he saw all those kids, down there. He started making up these little packages of candy with little tiny parachutes on them. And he would just drop them out the window of his plane as he flew over the city. And he became famous for that. There is a little wrinkle to the story. It doesn't appear in the article that I linked to on this, but Halvorsen also noticed that on the other side of the Berlin Wall, there were also a lot of children watching what was going on, and they would wave to his airplane. And so he did one flight, only one, where he just flipped over the Berlin Wall real quick, threw out some candy, and skedaddled back on over. Boy, the Soviet government just went ballistic, said it was a blatant attempt to undermine their control, propaganda, blah, blah. Halvorsen got in a little bit of trouble for that one, and he never did it again. But apparently they had him as a guest of honor in Berlin today, where he basically he put on his old military uniform and he signed autographs and he posed for pictures. So good for him. 98, that's doing really, really good. Okay, we got a caller on the line, Philip in Virginia. Aloha, Philip. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Yeah, what's on my mind is what you just recently covered about the dancing Israelis. Could you repeat that? And I want to tie that into a film that I just watched and how Hollywood telegraphs or reveals things that are going on within our government or special interests that have ulterior motives and agendas to further their own goals. You know, like The Long Kiss Goodnight. Remember that? How they... The intelligence guy was saying that we needed to bring about this terrorist attack to justify our being and our existence and to mobilize, you know, the like the Project for a New American Century said, imperial mobilization.
Yes. Well, you know, again, we all remember 9/11, and I think most of us remember the story of the dancing Israelis.
Right, and you just mentioned some more information referring to the dancing Israelis.
And, yeah, there was a Freedom of Information Act request where more of the photos taken of them during their arrest have been released, and so now we have some much better look at their faces.
Wow. Well, you know, that's infuriating. With this information that we already know about, that they were there, admittedly, to document the event.
Yes.
I mean, come on, people. But anyway, I watched another film actually just today, and they revealed another scenario where they have these rogue intelligence agencies that are bringing about a terror attack to justify their budget or whatever. And it's called Unlocked, with Michael Douglas and John Malkovich and a couple other people you're probably familiar with. So I would like to recommend that to your audience as well. And, I mean, here it is. They just throw this stuff in our face. And, you know, when you mention it and how it's actually playing out in reality, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. They downplay it and ignore it and marginalize you and everything else. So I was just, you know, wanted to share that with you. It's called Unlocked, and I was surprised that Michael Douglas was in this film. And I don't recall the year that it came out, but yeah, they launched a biological attack in order to, you know, keep the as you put it, the daily booga booga.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, Unlocked so. Came out in 2017.
Wow, that recent.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it was pretty chilling, you know, to how they, you know, were able to project, you know, this scenario and how they brought it all about, and how they where it was carried out, and all of that stuff. So, I mean, they're giving people ideas.
I mean, there have been cases where doctors in small towns have deliberately started waves of illness to build their business. We know that police departments need there to be crime out there to justify their budgets. And so it's not really that much of a leap for this movie. Anyway, Philip, I got to let you go. We got to take another break here for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And seem to be having a little bit of technical difficulties with our feed from RBN. I'm sure they're working on it. Turning to our domestic local politics, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is out there still kicking the dead horse, and apparently last Friday on MSNBC, Schultz basically said that, yes, Trump did collude with Russia, and he obstructed justice to cover it up, and based on her interpretation of Robert Mueller's report, there was collusion and obstruction. So they can't let it go. They absolutely cannot let it go. And notice Debbie Wasserman Schultz is out there saying it's her interpretation of the Mueller report, as opposed to getting on down to the part of the report where it says we found no evidence of collusion. Over at MSNBC, Rachel Maddow is still not dealing with the fact that this entire Donald Trump-Russia collusion hoax turned out to be a hoax. And she's out there on the air saying the president had lied. Maddow told former FBI General Counsel James Baker last Friday, the Mueller report describes factual connections to the Russians. However, she refused to mention that Mueller himself and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton actually were colluding with the Russians and were involved in talks that led to the covert sale of one-fifth of U.S. uranium reserves, in which the Clintons and others profited. They just can't let it go. They just cannot let it go. And I'm stunned. I'm trying to figure out what is driving these people. I mean, Trump is basically giving the deep state everything they want, all the wars they could possibly want, maybe more wars they can deal with. Meanwhile, Senator Lindsey Graham, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, that he is working to declassify a document that would prove definitively that authorities knew that the Steele dossier, which was used by the FBI to get those FISA warrants, lacked any substantial independent corroboration. So apparently, they did know. The dossier was junk. So there was no verification. There was no proof. There was no independent confirmation, and it was used to get a warrant. So now this article in Breitbart has a somewhat different spin, saying that James Comey didn't know whether the dossier claims were true when he went ahead and used it in the FISA application. But October 2016, Comey signed the first of three successful FISA applications to obtain warrants to spy on Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. This was in the run-up to the election. The second and third were actually renewal applications, since a FISA warrant must be renewed every 90 days. Now, this article over an Investment Watch blog is saying that Obama did know. He knew that the Steele dossier was fake before it was used to get those FISA warrants. In fact, at a bare minimum of 10 days ahead of time. All right. Okay, the Office of the Inspector General report on the FISA abuse. Basically, Horowitz has concluded that all three of the FISA renewals were obtained illegally. Now, here's where it gets a little bit interesting and why Comey may be out there rattling around the cage a bit. Judiciary Committee member John Ratcliffe has come on out and basically said, James Comey is under investigation for violations of the Espionage Act. And Ratcliffe is not a guy who plays games. He's very deliberate, good reputation. If he's saying it, there's something serious going on there. Craig Murray is out there talking about the real Mueller-gate scandal. Saying that Mueller just went in with a get Donald Trump attitude. It was never objective. It was never unbiased. They were out there on a hunting mission. Get the goods on Trump and Russia. And Craig Murray is saying basically Mueller deliberately and systematically excluded from evidence anything that contradicted that view. He didn't commission a forensic examination of the DNC servers. He didn't interview Bill Binney. He did not interview Julian Assange. His entire report was all about, we're going to get Donald Trump, we're going to bring him down. And he ultimately failed to do that. So over at Chimp Planet, they're saying the Mueller report basically says it's time to investigate the investigators. Just how this all came to be, who was lying, who was misusing the law. And do you love how the corporate media, as much as they went after Trump for the last 2 years on this collusion stuff, which was a pure fantasy, still won't touch the Uranium One deal. still won't touch how the DNC stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders. This entire government, Justice Department, FBI, they're just openly hostile to President Trump. Okay. Over at Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton is coming out there saying they've uncovered new emails that show Obama's White House orchestrated a cover-up of Hillary Clinton's email. And apparently the Obama White House was tracking a Freedom of Information Act request for Hillary emails that was improperly denied by the State Department. They didn't really have legal grounds to deny it. And apparently it was urgent enough where Obama's White House was saying, where is it? Where's the Freedom of Information Act request? But if you really look at it, if this thing ever had a chance to break out through the corporate media's firewalls or whatever, this illegal spying on the Trump campaign, this is the biggest corruption scandal in American history. This is bigger than Watergate. Okay, Representative Rashida, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Tlaib, just opened her mouth and she came out with this comment about the Holocaust. She said, there's always kind of a calming feeling I tell folks when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust and the fact that it was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their land and some lost their lives, their livelihood, their human dignity, their existence in many ways have been wiped out, and some people's passports to make the land of Israel for the Jews. And of course, she's being roasted for this. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Layla in Canada. Aloha, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Actually, a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to respond to Rashida Tlaib, who I believe was born in Michigan. I was born in Bethlehem at the time when it was part of the Palestinian province that was being governed by the Ottomans. What Tlaib forgets is that there were many people who actually sought refuge in that mainland along the coast, who come from many different places. And she also forgets that the Arabs controlled that area for 1,400 years, wiping out the original identity on the surface of the people who are there. So whether they were one ethnicity is an absurdity. So I disagree with that. And for her to be making these claims, she's also ignoring what's happening in Africa and all the rest of the world, where there are numerous other people who are suffering equally, if not far greater, deprivations and pain than they are in Palestine. Now, I say this with all compassion and understanding of the Palestinian dilemma, but they have advanced in many ways because of the existence of the westernized culture of Israel, despite the fact that I'm very much opposed to Zionism and its enterprise from the start. But anyway, the reason I called is, was that you said something about Bernie Sanders being robbed of his nomination. Do you really believe that these are two separate parties, that they are not all controlled by an internal elite, and that what is happening on the fringes is all smoke and mirrors and just a distraction? And basically, when there used to be multiple tents in a circus, it's the guys under the big top who are calling the shots. Bernie Sanders is too old to be president, and if he had been elected, I don't think people would have been able to tolerate his accent for very long, his very Jewish northeastern accent. But even so, Trump has failed. Trump was always planned to be the president, and he has failed the people, but he has fulfilled his obligations in order to actually be given the presidency.
Let me cut in here for just a second.
Of course.
There is no question that both political parties' leadership is compromised by money. You have the billionaires out there. They basically give money to both sides, so they're totally in control. But I don't think it's as in control as you like to imagine. I think that Hillary was supposed to be the intended president back in 2016, and that's why everybody got so upset when Trump won. It basically said, hey, your control on the American voters and the American elections is not ironclad.
I would have to agree with that to a certain extent, although whether it was Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, it would have been six of this or half a dozen of the other in the ultimate outcome. You know, the only thing is who was more palatable as the apparent leader or the president. So I don't think it really matters anymore. Trump is doing what he was supposed to do, what he agreed to do prior to even putting his name forward as a candidate. And if I may, on one more point where you always talk about the risks of plastic and credit cards.
Yes.
I would like to issue a very serious warning to anybody who is holding a Capital One credit card. They are a highly compromised company. I'm trying to find out if they belong to something called the Pomoja Group, Pomoja Capital Group, P as in Peter, O, M as in Mother, O, J, A. On their online website puts a whole bunch of African faces as being the top executives, but it's actually a global octopus with its tentacles all over. And besides, we know credit card companies belong to banks, and all banks belong to one central bank. So your advice, get rid of your plastic. It's like leaving your back door open. I have been defrauded of money that Capital One first gave me benefit for, they gave me credit, and then without giving me any heads up, they rebilled me for those fraudulent charges. So I'm now in the midst of an extensive dispute. It's a couple of $1,000, so it matters. Not only did they steal money out of my credit card, but they also took it out of my PayPal account. And yes, it was an Israeli company. My mistake for dealing with them. But the liability stems from especially Capital One, because it doesn't have a brick-and-mortar building. It's just an online site. And when you deal with customer service, you're dealing with people in the Philippines who barely speak English. When you're dealing with the fraud department, you're dealing with people in Costa Rica who also may not speak English and take diligent notes. So I've had to repeat over and over and over again for hours on end since January, all the fraudulent steps that they have taken, and they nonetheless rebuild me for the credits that I got. So now I'm in the process of trying to get credit back, but it's too late now because I canceled my card. So your advice, plastic is not only a liability because of the temptation to overspend, it's also leaving your back door open, because any merchant who is unethical and may have a financial benefit in relation to Capital One belongs to MasterCard. I'd like to know who owns MasterCard. Is Visa really independent of the same ones who own MasterCard? Of course not, because they're all owned by the same banks. Much like the political parties around the world are basically run by the same elite with the same kinds of strategies, and they play the same games with us. So it's excellent advice that you've been given, and I just wanted to second it. Everybody, get rid of your credit cards and make sure that you pursue any fraudulent charges that are questionable to you. All the best. Take care, Mike.
All right. Thanks an awful lot, Layla, and I hope you were able to work that out. And I have the credit cards, it's not just plunging yourselves into debt and being plunged into debt. It's all these cards. They're all vulnerable. We're seeing how cybercrime is just completely out of control. And like Layla says, it's having a credit card or having a debit card is like leaving your back door open. That's why, you know, I prefer cash and carry. And one of the things that always bothers me when I'm at the store these days is the person in front of me at the check stand. You know, they're going through all the pushing the buttons and the swiping this and the plugging in that. And it's like, it just takes forever to get it done. And I don't know to whose advantage that is all supposed to be. By the way, something else, as long as we're on the topic of cards, you know, those gift cards, you know, you go to the store and you You get one of these gift cards, and it's very pretty on the front. It says, maybe it says happy birthday, and you pay to put $50 onto it along with a small fee. You don't need to do that. That's another way banks scam everybody, because nobody, hardly anybody, runs those cards down to absolute zero. They just sit around in a drawer with maybe $5, $10 still left on them, which is basically free money for the banks. So you may want to think about that. Okay. So, as we mentioned briefly earlier in the show, the stock market took a real clubbing. Got to be feeling like a baby seal right about now. And this was, of course, the response to the fact that China has imposed retaliatory tariffs. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to go ahead and take a phone call before we get into the stock market antics. James in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike. I thought I'd just mention one thing. You talked about free money for the banks just a minute ago, and I don't know what the all-time record is, and maybe you had some experience with it, but there's this thing called the float, and just as an example, I once had it take 8 days for a deposit to go from my bank and show up in PayPal.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a record, but from what I hear,
yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, I've heard other people talk about several days, taking several days for payments to go from one bank to another, or from one, or from a bank to PayPal, or some other deposit, some other account that they have.
Okay,
that's a huge amount of money that the banks have to play.
It is,
with.
And you know, when it's sort of hanging there in limbo between the banks. The banks can still include it on their balance sheet. They're basically rolling your receivables, and if there is a long delay, that may signal a liquidity crisis for that institution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my understanding is that a lot of banks have trading accounts. They go into the various markets with that money while it's floating.
Yeah, they very well could. And, of course, if they did that today, we may see very long delays getting your money back from PayPal.
Yeah. Well, it's... I don't know how much it is. I would love to know just what the total amount is that is being out there in the ether while it's going from one account to the other.
And you know, it's interesting though, but you know, that kind of activity was what was expressly forbidden by Glass-Steagall,
which was
the financial institutions couldn't blend their customers' cash with their own investment cash. But of course, Glass-Steagall was torn out. And so now, yeah, the banks can actually play in the stock market with checkings and savings funds.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just thought I'd bring that point out.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. I'm wondering what the repercussions are going to be from this morning's stock rout. The Dow ended 617 down. At one point, it was over 700 down. And again, this is in response to China announcing retaliatory tariff hikes. And China announced those yesterday, and people were looking at the Dow futures last night and saying, oh boy, it's going to be a bad, bad day. And it certainly was. So China is also saying that along with the tariffs, they're going to stop purchasing agricultural products from the United States. It's cutting its orders for Boeing planes. And even worse, could start dumping treasuries. We got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcast.